This is a strange story, isn't it? The thing about the Sadducees coming up to Jesus and saying, well, there was this guy, and his brother married a woman, and then his brother died without a child. He had to marry her. Seven brothers went and married this woman. None of them had children. So then she dies, and in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? This is the way that you argue. You know how you can argue about certain things? It's called reductio ad absurdum. It's called reducing something to absurdity. Yeah, right. So that because the resurrection doesn't make any sense, if the resurrection is going to follow the same rules that we live by now, then we're in trouble, right? We've got all kinds of issues. You know, like, for example, we could think of inheritance. Like, okay, if I give my stuff to my children and my children's children, and then we're all resurrected, whose stuff is it? Who gets to have it? It was mine originally. Or no, it was probably my parents originally. You can see what the Sadducees could just see all kinds of problems with the whole issue of being raised from the dead to new life. So Jesus attempts to answer that question, and the way he does it is not by some legal kind of, you know, pre-described laws or whatever, but instead he does it by way of saying this: those who are raised from the dead don't die anymore. Which at first doesn't seem to address the issue at all. What does that have to do with some people marrying? This Levirate law, which was very clear in Scripture, and not only in Israel, but in many other places in the ancient world, was that if your brother did not have children with his wife, then you were to marry the wife if he dies, so that you can have children. And that was the way in which the brother who has died has a connection with the land of the living. That's the issue. Because the way we understand resurrection is not the way Israel understood resurrection. The way that you connected to the land of the living, the way that your life at the end didn't just end up being you in this place of darkness called Sheol, was that you had a connection by way of your children to the land of the living. And so when Jesus says the people of the resurrection don't die, so they're not going to worry about whether they have children or not. Because the children were a buffer against death. That's what it was. Do you follow what I'm saying? Didn't explain that. Yeah? So, if you had children and you died, great, no problem. You had this connection, a tether, if you will, to the land of the living. But if you die childless, you're just out there in the land of nothing. And it's sad. But if your relative has children on your behalf, then okay, now you've got that tether again. It's an interesting thing. We don't have that quite now. We have that in some ways. But we do have these sort of social agreements that we go by, and they have sometimes to do with fear of death. So, one of them is if you have a child, you need to take care of that child, right? So, 40 years ago, last week, November 3rd, 1979, there was this event that happened. It was called the Greensboro Massacre, where five people were murdered and several other were shot and wounded in Greensboro, North Carolina, where we happened to be living. It was in an African-American community called Morningside. It was a group of people who had gathered together because the Ku Klux Klan had been very active in Guilford County. And this was a protest against that. Well, 14 carloads of Ku Klux Klan people came to Morningside, got out of their cars, opened the trunks of their cars, pulled out their weapons, and shot into the crowd, put their weapons away, and drove away. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law and mother-in-law, speaking of in-laws, were all there at that. And Virginia was living in Greensboro. She had graduated. She had an apartment. And they had dropped her niece, Jennifer, who was a year and a half, to babysit while they went to this rally. So I was there with Virginia babysitting Jennifer, this year and a half-year-old. And we get the word that there has been shooting and death and all of this at this rally where my sister-in-law, brother-in-law, and mother-in-law were all at, along with other friends that we knew. So, not knowing whether they were among the living or the dead, we were terrified. But my first reaction, and I'm not proud of it, but my first response was very much one of those cultural agreement things. How in the world could you put yourself, you parents, into a position where you might be killed when you have a year and a half year old kid you have to take care of? And I was angry with them for putting themselves in the position of maybe being shot when they had a kid. They were gone all day. They were not among the dead or those who had been wounded. But they didn't come back, and they didn't call us, and we didn't know for a long time. It ends up they were in hiding because they didn't know whether things were safe to come out. They finally did at night come back, pick up Jennifer, and took her home. And over the next several months then, there was this conversation about this whole event. It was in the family, and it had to do with this. How could you leave your child to put yourself in this situation? And their response was this. We love our child, but the children at Morningside in Greensboro live with this kind of thing every day of their life. Violence and hatred and injustice, and we have to stand with them too. We have to love them as well as our own child. Well, I'm a Sicilian Italian. That doesn't sit well with me. Because I'm this. I want to take care of my family, mi famiglia. Well, but over time, this conversation kept going, and I started thinking, you know, that is really true. I'm not sure I could do it, but I think it's true. You guys are doing what you're called to do. So what I said, Virginia and I were planning to get married. We hadn't been married yet. And so where I came to was this. All right, then, if you're going to go do that, we will agree that if you die, we'll take care and raise your child. To which they said, that's very kind of you. Will you do that for the children at Morningside? Will you do that for the children in all the communities that have to face this kind of thing all the time? Oh. I think that's the voice of Jesus in this story. Right? That people of the resurrection are not worried about dying. They're not worried about holding on to the one kid. They are worried, they are concerned, they are loving for all. It isn't about fear of death, the thing that holds us and tethers us. It is the resurrection that tethers us to the land of the living, not our children or our savings or all the things that we try to do to hold on to the world. It is the hope of the resurrection in Christ that tethers us. So, the question was, could we take care of those children in Morningside? Fast forward 15 years, and I'm pastor in another side, Hearthside, another African-American community, just like Morningside. And in that, it was, at one point, there was this, another different county, same Ku Klux Klan, had phoned in to a radio show that a black church in South Durham was going to be bombed this Sunday. Didn't say which, it just said, Southern Durham, a black church. So, my question to the president of the council was, should we cancel church? His response to me was this, Pastor, in the face of this, where else would you rather be than in the house of the Lord, worshiping God? My first thought was any place, but but he was right. And so we gathered. And interestingly, we gathered with all of our children. So, can we stand with those from Morningside, Morningside, Hearthside? Can we raise up children who are able to stand with them? Are we able to raise up children who are not stricken by fear of death, but are compelled by the resurrection of Jesus to love and to serve and to stand with those who suffer, knowing that death does not have the last word, but that Jesus and his being raised from the dead has the last word. And even though we die, we are not dead to God. To God, all are alive. Now, during that service, that Sunday, just yesterday I thought, Rolf hadn't yet written it, but had he written it by then, we would have started that service with, if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And the Lord is the Lord of the resurrection. We will be raised up. We are raised up to live lives that do not fear death. And on that resurrection morning, we will stand up. And we will be free of fear. And no matter what hearth or home you live in, we will live at the side of Jesus, the wounded side of Jesus. And our life will not be defined by death or by fear of death, but by the life that we have in him. The life that came out of his side in water and blood. The water into which we have been baptized. The blood by which we have been saved. Morningside, Hearthside, the side of Jesus. That is where we live. And there is no more death, but life.